I usually end my sermon with a little story. I'm going to start my sermon today with a little story, true story, about a church in Germany that employed an organ maker to put an organ in their church. The organ maker actually became famous, but he's not the point of the story. But he put an organ in this church, and it was a pipe organ, and it filled the front of the sanctuary. It also filled the back of the sanctuary. The organ was actually up in the balcony of the sanctuary, and it was a wonderful organ. It played every note true, had perfect sounds, just filled the sanctuary with heavenly music every time it was played. One day, a stranger showed up. It was a Tuesday. The only person at the church was the custodian. And this stranger, who was an old man, asked the custodian, he said, "I've heard about your organ. I was wondering if I could see it." And the custodian said, "No, we don't show the organ during the week. If you want to see it, you have to come back on Sunday." And this old man said, "Well, I'm not going to be here on Sunday. This is the only day I'm going to be in town. Could you make an exception for an old man and just let me see the organ?" And the custodian said, "Okay, I'll take you to see the organ." And he took him up in the balcony of the sanctuary, and they were able to look at the pipes in the back and the pipes in the front. He was able to look at the keyboard. And the old man said to the custodian, "Could I sit down and just play a few notes?" "No, we don't let anybody except our organist play the organ." And the old man said, I know, but I do play the organ, and I've heard how wonderful this organ is. Could I please, just would you give a favor to an old man, could I just please sit down for a second and play a few notes?" And the custodian said, "All right, I guess no harm done." And so the old man sat down on the bench and stretched out his hands and began to play the organ. He played more than a few notes. He played Handel's Messiah in a way that the custodian had never heard it. It seemed like the music just reached into heaven. And when the man got done, the custodian said to him, "Sir, would you please tell me your name? I've never heard anybody play Handel's Messiah in that way. What is your name?" And the old man said, "Well, my name is Handel. I wrote that." And the custodian said, "To think, I almost turned away the great Handel." Too many people have made a greater mistake. They've turned away somebody far more important. And they've done it repeatedly. And I pray this morning that it's not too late. This morning I want to preach on the subject, somebody's at your door. Somebody's at your door. And this morning I want to encourage you to open that door and let the one that's at your door in to your heart. Jesus was speaking in Revelation chapter 3, and we read that verse together, verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me." I have a simple message this morning. I just want you to notice what that verse says. It starts out by saying, "Behold, I stand. Behold, I stand." You see, the message was too important to just write it in heaven. The Bible tells us that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. But the message that needed to be delivered was too important to write it in the heavens, and so Jesus says, "I stand." The message is too important just to let nature convey it. The Bible says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." But the message that Jesus wants to deliver is too important. And so he says, "I stand." The message is too important for angels to deliver. God used angels to deliver important messages that he needed to deliver to mankind. But the message that Jesus wants to deliver is too important. And so he says, "I stand." The Creator at the door of the created. The Infinite at the door of the finite. The Almighty at the door of the frail. The All-Wise at the door of the foolish. The All-Holy at the door of the sinful. the all-loving at the door of the hateful, the crucified at the door of the crucifiers. I stand, the Son of God, the way, the truth, the life. I stand, the Good Shepherd. I stand, Emmanuel. I stand, not the sun, not the moon, not the stars, not nature, not angels, but the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. I stand. He stands at the door, and the Bible says that he knocks. Now, if you study the Greek and you look at that word knock, it's a continual verb. It doesn't mean just one knock. It means knock. It means to keep on knocking. It means a continual knocking. You see, the one that's doing the knocking loves us. He knows what's going to happen if we refuse to open the door. And so he just keeps knocking and knocking and knocking. And through every stage of life and through every circumstance of life, he keeps knocking. Sometimes it's in poverty that we hear his knock. Sometimes it's in times of prosperity that we hear his knock. Sometimes at the birth of a little baby, we hear Jesus knocking at our heart's door. Sometimes in the death of a loved one, we hear the knock that comes. Sometimes it's when we're in the bloom of health. Sometimes when we're in the valley of sickness, he knocks. Sometimes a knock comes in a Sunday school lesson. Sometimes it comes in a sermon, but the knock goes on and on and on. Sometimes it's a word that mom or dad says or grandpa or grandma says to us. Sometimes it's a crooked finger pointed in your face and saying you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. But the knock keeps coming and coming and coming. Sometimes it comes when we're a toddler. Sometimes it comes when we're a teenager, a young adult, a middle adult, an older adult. The knock keeps going and going and going and going. Sometimes we don't hear it. I mean, we just don't hear it. But it doesn't mean it's stopped. It keeps on going. It keeps on knocking and knocking and knocking. Sometimes we deliberately ignore it. Sometimes we hear the knock and we harden our hearts and we say, no, we're not going to open the door. And the more we do that, the more callous our hearts get. It happened in Jesus' day. It's just not a phenomenon of our day. It happened in Jesus' day. Jesus talked about those people. He says, you have ears, but you can't hear, and you have eyes, but you can't see. He keeps knocking. It happens. I mean, it's happening right now. He's knocking. You're going to hear the old, old story of Jesus and his love. You're going to hear about how he saves. He's knocking as you hear that story. We sang the song in Sunday school, Jesus Loves Me. A little simple child song, but a song that has the wonderful message in it that we have a Savior who comes and stands and knocks. We hear a preacher say, Jesus loves you. That's God knocking at our door. The more you say no, the more you ignore the knock, the easier it gets to ignore it. I pray that this morning you would hear the knock. You would hear the one that stands at the door and knocks. How long will he knock? How long will the Savior continue to knock? He'll keep knocking until he knows there's no chance that you're going to open the door. And then he'll stop. That's what the Bible calls the unpardonable sin. When we reject Jesus so many times that he knows we're never going to open the door. And so the knock stops. And again, I pray that's not too late for you. I pray you can still hear the knock this morning. And so he knocks. And he says, if any man, that's the same way as the Bible saying, whosoever. If any man, you see, you can take that phrase out of that verse and put your name in it. If any man, if John, if Ted, if Ferris, if Bill, and I could go up and down the line and just about call every man and every lady's name, you can put your name in that verse. If you say, preacher, that makes it too personal. I don't want to put my name in the verse. It makes it too personal. I want to tell you something this morning. It is personal. Amen. It is personal. Jesus meant for it to be personal. He meant for it to be personal for you. He says, behold, I stand at your door and I knock. If any man, if you, the one whose door I'm knocking on, if you will open the door. Sir James Simpson, he was a doctor and a scientist. He made many great discoveries. He invented chloroform. And somebody asked him one time, what's the greatest discovery that you've ever made? And Dr. Sir James Simpson said this, the greatest discovery of my life is that Christ Jesus loves me and saves me from my sins. Amen. Greatest discovery of my life. Jesus loves you. He stands. Not nature, not an angel. He stands at the door and knocks. And that verse says, if any man hear his voice. Now wait, shouldn't that verse say, if any man hear his knock? No, the verse doesn't say that. The verse says, if any man hear his voice. You see, Jesus is doing the same thing that we would do. I remember one night when I was a teenager, I was out late and I forgot my key. I didn't want my mom and dad to know how late I was. And so my brother and I used to sleep up in the attic. And I took some pebbles and I threw at the window, tried to get his attention. He didn't answer. And so I started to call, Tim! I didn't want to wake up my mom and dad. My dad was a real snorer, so I didn't have any, you know, fear about waking him up. But my mom was a light sleeper. And Tim! I'd throw a stone. Tim! He never heard me. My mom woke up, said, where you been? Long story, Mom. All right, you can tell me in the morning. I found out he was awake all the time, didn't want to open the door. Dirty dog. That's what Jesus does. He knocks. And then he calls. John? Carl? Bill? Sam? He calls our name. He calls our name. He knows who's behind the door. He knows whose door he's knocking on. We read about the story where Lazarus had died and Mary and Martha were grieving and Jesus came. And Martha went out to meet him and then she went back to Mary and said, Mary, the Master has come and calleth for thee. That's what he does for us. He knocks and he calls. And that verse says, if any man, whosoever, if you will open the door. If you will open the door. A man by the name of Holman Hunt painted a picture based on this verse. It's a picture of, in some of them, Jesus is holding a lantern. I looked at the one in the library. We have one in the library. He's not holding a lantern there, but it's the same picture. My grandmother used to have one in her living room. But in Holman Hunt's picture, Jesus is at the door. You can see his hand. It doesn't move, but his hand is against the door in a knock. He's holding a lantern. And somebody came to see that picture as Mr. Hunt was about to finish it up and said, hey, you forgot something. You forgot something on the door. You didn't put a drawstring, a latch on the door. And Mr. Hunt said, no, I did that on purpose. The door can't be opened from the outside. It can only be opened from the inside. You see, Jesus knocks and he calls, but he will not force his way in. He is waiting for us to open the door. He is waiting for you to make the decision to open the door. He won't force his way into your life. He won't force his way into your heart. He wants to save you. He loves you. He wants to save you from the penalty of your sin. And he'll knock, and he'll call, but he'll wait for you to open the door. And I know some people say, well, preacher, that's too simple. It's too simple. There must be more that I have to do. No. And I'm using the door as an illustration this morning. All you have to do is open the door. That's all you have to do. You say, well, I don't feel anything. You don't have to feel anything. There are some people that feel things when they get emotion or when they get saved. I mean, they have emotions when they get saved, and it ought to make us feel glad when we get saved, saved from hell, saved from the penalty of sin. But emotion doesn't have to be part of it. It's simply opening the door. Some people say, well, it seems like I should have to do something. I should have to pay something. It's not of works, the Bible says, lest any man should boast. All God wants us to do is open the door. And what I mean by opening the door is to know that we're a sinner. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's a penalty for that sin. The wages of sin is death, to be separated from God. But God commendeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when he died for us, it enabled God to be able to offer a gift to every person. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he knocks. And he calls. He calls your name and he says, whosoever will hear my voice and open the door, he says, I will come in. I will come in. That's what you, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, that's what you need this morning. You see, there's a part that God created in every person, and that part of us can only be filled with God. Every person has it. Now, before we get saved, we try to fill it up with things of the world. We try to fill it up with the world's riches, and we try to fill it up with the world's pleasures, and we try to fill it up with the things of the world. But the bottom line, as Solomon talks about it, it's all vanity. Nothing will satisfy that part of us that longs and has to have a relationship with God. Nothing the world has to offer will satisfy that. The only thing that will satisfy that is God. And the only way you can have a relationship with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when I say open the door, I simply mean you believe that you're a sinner. There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the penalty. And you trust him. You trust him and you trust what he did on Calvary as payment for your sins. Just open the door. Open the door. He says, I will come in and I will sup with him and he with me. And we don't use that word sup today. Some people say, well, doesn't it mean supper? No, it's much more than supper. It means bounty. It means fellowship. It means rest after labor. It means gathering with loved ones. It means a festive gathering. It means almost like getting together with your family at Thanksgiving and you have so much food you don't know where to put it and you just enjoy the fellowship and you enjoy the bounty and you enjoy the good feelings that everything's right in the world because you're together with those that you love and God has blessed you. That's what the word sup means. And Jesus says, I stand, because it's too important for nature. It's too important to write it in the skies. It's too important for angels to deliver the message. I stand, and I knock, and I call. And if anybody will open the door, I will come in and sup with them. Amen. We sing the song, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. That's eternal life. Doesn't just start when we get to heaven. It starts right now. Amen. Or it could start right now. It started for a lot of people in this room the moment they got saved. If you're here today and you're not saved, it could start for you in just a moment. The moment that you trust Christ to be your Savior. Amen. Would you do it this morning? I can't think of a better day than October the 7th, 2018, if a person is here that doesn't know Christ. Can't think of a better time, a better day for you to receive Jesus as your Savior. He's knocking. He's calling. And he's waiting for you to open the door. Would you do it this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the simplicity of the gospel. For the different ways that you paint the picture of salvation in your word. Here's a picture. Somebody's at your door. They're knocking. They're waiting for the door to be open so that they can come in and give life, give salvation, give freedom from the condemnation of sin. And they'll give that, Jesus will give that to every person that opens the door. Thank you, Father, that I've opened that door. Thank you, many here this morning have already opened the door. I pray for those that haven't. I pray for those that are still burdened by their sin, still guilty of their sin, still going to be punished for their sin. Help them to see there's nothing they can do to pay for it themselves and to pay the price, but that Jesus paid the price for them. And if they'll come to him, if they'll open the door as he knocks, he'll save them. Save them from that sin. Save them from the penalty of that sin. Make them one of your children. Give them a home in heaven. And so I pray, Father, you bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. Remind the many Christians that are here what the Lord's Supper reminded us of this morning. What a great Savior we have. And Father, to those that are here that don't know Christ, help them to understand that their eternity is in the balance. What they do with Jesus is going to determine where they spend eternity. Help them this morning to receive him. For it's in his precious name we pray. Amen.